Well, the title of tonight's devotion is Apollos, an Eloquent Man. Apollos, an Eloquent Man. If you haven't, you can start turning, if you want to Acts chapter 18 in your Bibles. That's where we're going to be spending most of our time here tonight. Apollos, an Eloquent Man. You see, the thing about the Bible is that it contains vivid descriptions of numerous characters. And our fellowship night studies in Acts have introduced us to many of them. So we're now in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, and we've been drawing a fair amount of our material for our church fellowship nights from the book of Acts. Now, if you're not aware of it, the book of Acts, of course, is a book of church history, early church history. So if you're wanting to know more about what was going on in the early church, you'd find it in the book of Acts. It would give us our context, if you will, our framework for some of the epistles then that are written by the Apostle Paul, as many of the churches that he's writing those letters to. The book of Acts lays out how he visited or planted or watered or ministered to those different church families. And so as he was setting up those churches, establishing those churches, teaching in those churches, ministering to those churches, the story of sort of the order that he was traveling around can be tracked through the book of Acts, including the beginning of the early church. So that's what we've been going through. So as we've been looking at this book of Acts, it's a book of history, so naturally it has introduced us to many different biblical characters from the early church or from the New Testament. Now, in our normal series on Wednesday nights, our Redemption Love Story series, we had started from creation and we'd been doing a broad overview, starting from the beginning and working our way towards the cross. And in that series, we were introduced to quite a few different characters too in the Bible. And we've noted in the past that the characters of the Bible are not the focus of the Bible. The stories in the Bible are not the focus of the Bible. The God behind those stories, the God behind those characters, that's the focus of the Bible. So young people, as I know that this can be a little bit hard for you to even pay attention to, one of the things I want you to take away tonight is that it's good to learn about the characters in the Bible. It's good to learn about the stories in the Bible. But the central theme of the Bible is His story. It's about Jesus Christ and God's provision for a sinful mankind. So God and His character is a thing that's prominently on display as we go through this. But there's a lot that we can take from looking at some of these individual characters, because we see some similarities between ourselves and those characters that God was working in and through as we read in the story, the narrative of the Bible unfolds. We can say, oh, I'm a lot like that, or that person's life resonates with me, or I see parts of their life that I would want to be true in my life, or I can rejoice in the successes that they had when they were trusting the Lord, and I can see that just like me, when they turn their eyes off of the Lord, they don't succeed, they fail. And so, most recently, as we've been looking at characters, we've been following the movements of Paul as he's been making his way through modern-day Greece, moving down through Macedonia and then into the southern part of Greece called Achaia. And so that's where we've been tracking the Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey, as he's been traveling with Paul and any young person know, remember who he's been traveling with? He was in jail with this person in Philippi. And if you remember who he's been traveling with, Calvin, is that you? Silas, is that what you said? Yes, Silas. And who's the other person? It's a young man that they picked up along the way. Paul was the main character. We got Silas, his sidekick. But we got one other person that's been on this journey. Nope. Timothy, all right. We got two for two in the Nitz family. Maybe have an extra snack tonight. Okay. All right, so we got Paul and Silas and Timothy. They've been traveling and they've been proclaiming Jesus together as we've been following their journey in these chapters from, I think, approximately maybe chapter 12 we picked up with some of this, and we've going on here to chapter 18 now. So the story of these movements, they've taken us to Acts chapter 18. Paul is now going to be finishing up his second missionary journey with stops in Corinth and Ephesus before returning to Caesarea and then to Antioch. So we're not going to read those parts today, but that's what the rest of Acts chapter 18 is about. It's about Paul finishing out his journey. He's going to make a last stop in Greece, in Achaia, with Corinth. He's going to go from Athens to Corinth. Then he's going to travel across the waterway to Ephesus. And then he's going to go from Ephesus by boat down to Caesarea and then back up to Antioch. And that's how his second missionary journey is going to end. And the account of all that is contained in one verse, verse 23 of this chapter 18. And then it's a couple of verses, and then by verse 23, it's going to start to talk about the beginning of his third missionary journey in verse 23 as he starts off again. It doesn't have much delay, and then he's off and running again. So stuck in the middle now of this progression, if you will, about the Apostle Paul is this introduction to this character Apollos, who is described as an eloquent man. So this introduction of Apollos and the description of his ministry is what we're going to explore tonight. Let's pick up this story in verse 24, because we're going to see in verse 24 of Acts 18 that Apollos is going to be introduced. Let's read that verse. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So a few things we can observe about Apollos. First, by ethnicity, he is a Jew. It says, a certain Jew named Apollos. Nationality-wise, he was born at Alexandria, meaning he was born in Egypt. That's where he had been born. Now, when we look at a personal description, if we're trying to picture this man a little bit, we know he's a Jew. We know he was born in Alexandria, that he came from the Egyptian area, though it's not controlled by Egypt anymore. It's controlled by Rome. But we see this personal description of him that I think we should really take note of. One of them is he's described as an eloquent man. And the second is he's described as being mighty in the scriptures. So now when you think of eloquent, that's a fancy word, kids, right? And eloquent means to speak with precision, eloquence, force, or persuasion. So somebody who's a very persuasive speaker, somebody who chooses their words wisely, somebody who probably doesn't stutter a lot or lose their place, somebody who is able to speak with force and be convincing in the way that they speak. Now, we also know that the current status of Apollos is that he's found his way to Ephesus. He came to Ephesus is how that verse ends. Now, we have a very interesting description, an expanded description of Apollos that we're going to pick up in verse 25 here. Let's look at that. Verse 25 says, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So a few things I want to bring out here about some observations about Apollos as we look at this expanded description of him. First, Apollos had been taught truth. You note there in verse 25, it says, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. You note that for most people who come to know this book, it's a combination of a willingness to study the Bible themselves and to be taught the Word of God by others, the one another's that God has put in our lives. Now, sometimes that's a pastor teacher. Sometimes that's a Sunday school teacher. Sometimes that's a parent. Sometimes that's a online source. We live in kind of a modern world. You might listen to some teaching about the Bible on the internet. There's a number of different ways that others could teach. The other way, though, that you might not be thinking about is sometimes when we talk about the value of gathering together, one of the reasons we gather together is that we can edify and build up one another, that we can have conversations about maybe verses we've been looking at. We can have conversations about maybe a conversation that we had with someone else. And in talking together, we may not have known what to say in that conversation with one of our friends. We maybe didn't know how to answer their question. We maybe were stumbled by one of the verses we read and it didn't make sense to us. So one of the ways that we learn is through conversation with one another. But regardless, Apollos had been taught truth. So that's why there's no room for pride in the Christian life. First and foremost, anything that we have by way of intellect, by way of abilities to understand, by way, in most instances, of access to truth. All of that is a gift from God. It has nothing that we should boast about. All good things are from God, but if I'm going to boast in anything, Paul says, I'm going to boast in Jesus Christ. And so the reality is that everything, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's ultimately God's grace that makes that possible. And so that was true with Apollos. You see, someone, or maybe many someones, had been willing to invest in this man by teaching him or instructing him in the way of the Lord. And when I was looking at that part of this verse, I thought, are we willing to invest in one another so that we can help teach one another, so we can grow in our common faith together, so that we can invest in learning better the Word of God? Are we willing to do that? Is that something that we see as being worthwhile, to be willing to invest in that? And are there people that have done that in your life that you could be grateful for, that you could say thank you for that? I don't know if I have any of the graduates. Well, I obviously have Wyatt here tonight. I don't know if I see anyone else. But the point being that if you have an opportunity to recognize that I learned something about Jesus from many people taking the time to invest in me over the years, that's something that you'd want to say thank you for. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me into a place where I could learn about you. You know, young people, I know it's tough here, but listen, it's really easy to not appreciate that your parents or your Sunday school teachers are teaching you about Jesus, but you realize that there are a lot of kids who aren't getting to learn about Jesus. They don't know about Jesus. And God may want to use you to be that person that tells them something about Jesus, but you are blessed that your parents and your Sunday school teachers and the people in your lives are taking time to teach you about Jesus. Now, the next thing that we can see about Apollos in this expanded description is Apollos was enthusiastic about serving the Lord. You see this phrase in verse 25 that says, being fervent in spirit. Now, that's defined as to be excited, enthusiastic, or completely committed to something. It's not he was fervent in the spirit. It's a little s. It's not a capital S. It's not, I don't believe it's referring to being fervent based on the empowerment or the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He had a characteristic that he was excited or enthusiastic about the Word of God. And you think about that. As you sit here tonight, are you excited to hear about teaching from the Word of God? Are you excited to hear truth that maybe you hadn't heard before? Is that your mindset? Is that your focus? Is that what you prioritize? Are you enthusiastic and excited about serving the Lord? Because we see Apollos was enthusiastic about serving the Lord. The next thing we know about him is that he shared the truth he knew. Apollos shared the truth he knew. It says this in verse 25. Look down again. It says, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. So he had been taught in the way of the Lord. He was excited and enthusiastic about that. You know, sometimes someone says to me, well, you sure seem excited or about what you're saying. And you know what? That some of that's just my personality. But some of it is, if you can't get excited about the Word of God, if you can't get excited about who Jesus is and what He's done for you, you can get excited about everything else, but you can't get excited about the thing that can give life, the thing that can take you from having to face an eternity separate from the one who loves you in the lake of fire, and to give you as a gift a solution to that through the person and work and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that he asks nothing in return other than you would just accept his love, that you would accept his free gift, that you put your faith in that. You can't get excited about that message. You have to ask yourself, if I'm excited about Tootsie Rolls, but I'm not excited about Jesus, pray about that. Lord, help me to be excited about you. Help me to be excited about who I am as your son. Help me to be excited about your provision for my every need. Help me to be excited about how you've given me a purpose where you want me to be a light for Jesus. And then you can still be excited about Tootsie Rolls. but let's also be sure that we're praying that God would make us excited about him. You see, he taught accurately the things that of the Lord because he was excited about them. And the question is, are you willing to faithfully proclaim the things of the Lord that you know? You know that as he proclaimed this truth, he taught accurately things of the Lord, he only could proclaim the things that he understood. And that's why the next point about Apollos, his understanding was limited. Raise your hand if your understanding about the things of the Lord is limited. That was a trick question, kids. Every person's understanding of the things of the Lord is limited. We're never going to get to a point where we have all the answers or we have it all figured out. But some people never will proclaim Jesus. They will never share with anybody about Jesus because they say, I don't know enough yet. I'm waiting until I know more, and then I'll tell people about Jesus. And the reality is that God has already given you some truth about Jesus. Every single one of us. And he says, I don't want you to worry about what you don't know. I want you to faithfully proclaim what you do know. And trust me and my spirit working inside of you to make up the difference. To fill in the gaps. So don't be waiting, kids. If you have somebody that you can introduce to Jesus, do it. Don't wait until you're older and you know more. If you know one thing about Jesus, he loved you so much that he gave up heaven so that he could die in your place on Calvary. And if anyone would just believe that he did that for them, they could be saved too. How many fingers was that, kids? Five. Good counting. Good job. And you could add more to that. I know some of you know even more than that. You could add to that. But Apollos was willing to explain what he did know. Let's look at what it says about his limitations, though. It says, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. Meaning that he knew about John's proclamation to change your mind about what you were looking forward to or trusting in. Turn back in faith to the Lord. And his provision for your sinfulness through the Messiah, through the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, John knew that he was preparing the way for Jesus, and he proclaimed that someone would be coming after him who would be the Redeemer, the Messiah. But John the Baptist didn't know all the details about exactly what Jesus would do. That he would die on a cross on Calvary. That he would be buried and 3 days later he would rise again victorious over death. John the Baptist didn't know all of those details. And apparently there were still some people in the early church here who knew some teaching, obviously from the Old Testament, because when they refer to the scriptures there, they're talking about how he was mighty in the scriptures. That's the Old Testament scriptures that he had been exposed to and taught probably as a child. And he was mighty, meaning he understood a lot about that. So he knew the scriptures. He had had that supplemented with some of the revelation from John the Baptist, the one who was preparing the way for Jesus. But he didn't know the full story about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So he wasn't able to proclaim that, but he was able to proclaim, put your confidence, put your faith in the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the coming sacrifice of Jesus. Now let's look at Apollos' mission. Let's read 26 and 27. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. So we'll just stop there. That's where the story of Apollos ends. But what's Apollos' mission? Verse 26, he wanted to communicate God's truth to others. See that? He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. You see that it says that? He was courageous and fearless. We see that about Apollos. Verse 26, you see how it says, he boldly began to speak. He boldly began to speak. To be bold is to be courageous. To be bold is to be fearless. And that's what he was. But you see how he still had room to grow in his understanding about Jesus and the things of faith? You see that in verse 26? Aquila and Priscilla, they heard him speak. And when they heard him speak, though he was speaking accurately, based on what he did know, he didn't know enough. So what did they do? They took him aside and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. They taught him more about the gospel message of who Jesus was and what he had done. Because he knew about Jesus, he knew he was the Messiah, but he didn't know the whole story about his death, burial, and resurrection. So he had to be taught that. Now note, they did it tactfully. You see that part? They took him aside. They didn't stand up while he was speaking in the synagogue and run him down. They didn't try to go to everyone else and explain how this Apollos, who has this bold heart for Jesus, doesn't have it quite right, and to go to try to undermine his ministry by convincing everybody what a fool Apollos was because he doesn't quite know as much as they know. They didn't do that at all. They quietly took him aside and they explained to him more fully the truth about Jesus. And I think that's awesome that they did that very lovingly, very tactfully. You see, nobody has it all figured out. And that's the benefit about being a part of a church family. But you see, he has a heart for ministry. When we're looking at his mission here in verse 27, he desired to cross to Achaia. Now that was southern Greece. He wanted to go from Ephesus to southern Greece. And he ends up in Corinth, which is one of those cities in Achaia near Athens. Now the other thing we see about Apollos' ministry is God used his willingness to impact people positively. Look at verse 27. He greatly helped those who had believed through grace. The whole story of the Bible is God's grace being offered to a sinful mankind, that there's a point in time where you can accept God's grace and be born into his family, and then God's grace for your life, to make your life profitable and valuable and useful and redeeming the time, that God's grace is still the theme of our lives even now as God continues to provide for our every need and to lead our paths and direct our steps. That's true. And that's what he helped those who had believed through grace. That was his ministry, to impact people positively. Now, what was the other part of his ministry? He vigorously refuted the Jews publicly in verse 28. And I'll tell you this. That's an advantage for having been given a gift of eloquence, isn't it? If you can be good to speak persuasively, if God can give you a gift to be elegant in the words that you would choose, to be a good communicator, that would come in handy if you were trying to publicly proclaim Jesus Christ to a hostile crowd and you were trying to convince others that the message of salvation through faith alone in Christ alone was the only way that a sinful mankind could approach a holy God. And that was true of him. Now the other thing he did is he proclaimed the gospel. Look at verse 28. Showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. That's what he did. He publicly and vigorously refuted the Jews, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It can be added there. That's the idea. He was speaking about Jesus, who he was, and then his work on Calvary, as he had been told that by Aquila and Priscilla. So he continued to proclaim that. Now the next thing is Apollos watered. When you talk about his ministry, Apollos watered where Paul had sown. And we'd have to go to another passage. We're not going to. I'm just going to tell you what it says. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, Apollos continued to minister to these believers at Corinth that Paul had already led to the Lord or proclaimed the truth of Jesus to. Now Apollos comes along with his ministry and he's proclaiming Jesus. He's watering where another had planted the seeds. God uses us to work together. Some plant and some water, but God brings the increase. Just like in the work of the ministry here. Even every task that we undertake, when we come together, a little, we each do a little bit, and the combined effort brings it so that the project can be completed successfully. And you could have seen that with even this playground project. Is that two or three times? Brent was wondering how many times I'd mentioned playground tonight. The playground project, we came together as a family of faith for that project to get done. Many people were involved in many different ways. And so that's what Paul's talking about when he says some water and some plant and some water, but God brings the increase. Now, later on, that had actually caused some problems, because what was happening in that church is that Apollos had ministered where Paul had previously ministered. Others had come into contact with Peter. And so they were starting to have this sort of segregation within the church, where some say, I'm of Paul, and some say, I'm of Apollos, and some say, I'm of Peter, and others are saying, I'm of Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying, no, we're all of Jesus Christ. The human instrument that God uses to minister to you is irrelevant. It's God working through that person to have an impact in your life. So who that person was, that's not relevant. You can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 12 and 13, where that little dispute was going on. Now, the last mention of Apollos, what I want you to know, the last thing about his mission, is that Apollos was a fellow worker and friend of Paul's. So the last time he's mentioned in the Bible is in Titus chapter 3, verse 13. And Paul says this to Titus. He says, send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. You see, he was a friend. He was a co-worker, a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul. And so that's one last thing to know about Apollos, an eloquent man. Now, when you're looking at this passage we just covered tonight, kids, we looked at five verses in Acts chapter 18 here. Five verses. And Apollos was described very well in these five verses. A lot was said about him that we covered. And I know I lost a few of you in this story because it got a little bit long. But I want you to know, think about the way that Apollos was described. He was described as somebody who was fervent in spirit. He was enthusiastic about his message. He was somebody who taught accurately the things he knew. He was somebody who was humble enough to take some feedback, to learn more from Aquila and Priscilla. That then caused him to have even more of a heart to keep proclaiming Jesus, and he went to invest his life in ministry to other people. And apparently, according to Titus, that's how his life was spent. Paul speaking to Titus, that's how Paul's life was spent, ministering and proclaiming Jesus Christ. And I ask you this, if five verses were going to be written in this book about you, would that be the story that would be told about you? How you had heard about Jesus, how you had responded in faith to that message of hope that Jesus gives, that it had made you enthusiastic about sharing the truth you knew with the others that were in your life, that you would then spend your life faithfully proclaiming Jesus Christ. Would that be said of you? And by God's grace, that's what he wants all of our stories to sound like. That's how he wants the summary of all of our lives to sound like. That's what our epitaph should read. That's a summary of your life that maybe is even on a gravestone, kids, in case you didn't know. The little quick summary of your life. A man of faith who was saved by God's grace, who wanted to tell others about who Jesus is and what he's done. May that be the story of all of our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this time we could spend in your word. Pray that it could have been encouraging to those who heard it. Pray that we would even find hope and find joy even in reading about somebody who was excited about you. Pray that we would even find comfort in knowing that even Apollos had a lot of things he needed to learn. That nobody has arrived. That we all have things that we could still grow in our understanding with. But that we don't need to wait till we have it all figured out in order to tell people what we do know. That to faithfully proclaim the truth that we do know. To fearlessly and boldly and enthusiastically proclaim you. Pray that that could be true of all of us. Pray for safety for the rest of the night. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well.